the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Altcoins are back, having been sidelined for months by Bitcoin's overwhelming dominance of the crypto market. Institutional adoption through ETFs or exchange-traded funds has exploded on a scale few people imagined just a year ago. Hundreds of companies, many of them quite sizable, have started to put Bitcoin on their balance sheets in what is known as a Bitcoin reserve strategy. Not to be outdone, companies have started adding Ethereum to their balance sheets. Now, unlike Bitcoin, which is often seen as digital gold and a store of value, Ethereum's programmable blockchain and yield-generating capabilities make it an attractive option for some corporate treasuries. Are we now entering the later stages of the Bitcoin bull run, with Ethereum starting to attract serious investor interest to be followed perhaps by the rest of the altcoins in due course? If so, that would be on a par with previous crypto cycles. To explore this, we're joined by Giannis Andreo, author of the best-selling book, Bitcoin the New Gold, and founder of Bitcoin mining company, Bitmain Crypto Mining. We'll also be exploring whether South Africa has any potential for Bitcoin mining. Hi, Giannis. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while since we spoke. One of the big developments over the last month or so is the return of altcoins. I think when we spoke before, you put your attention on some of the interesting developments that were happening. Now, I noticed that Ethereum has been doing particularly well, but Bitcoin dominance still remains at about 60% of the total crypto market. Are things starting to swing in favor of altcoins, in your opinion?
Hey, Kieran. Thank you for having me. Nice to be here back with you. So the altcoin season, it's start picking up again and coming back. And this is also more due to the stability in the market, with especially with the U.S. economy and the U.S. tariffs that wanted to impose in different countries. Now, that one is more stable. And usually the market cycle goes like, first Bitcoin is doing a rally, then Ethereum follows up, and then altcoins comes just right after Ethereum. And the allocation goes from Bitcoin to Ethereum, and then from Ethereum to altcoins. That one was happening on every cycle. So this year, it kind of started differently. A lot of money, since Trump won the presidency in November, last November, December, and January, there was a lot of money flowing towards meme coins, some new AI coins, and on Bitcoin. So there was not much flowing towards altcoins and Ethereum. And Ethereum was kind of being dead. Almost everybody was calling Ethereum dead. And that was due to the leadership and capabilities to move forward, to move higher the Ethereum. And there was a change in the leadership of the Ethereum. And then this guy, Tom Lee, comes back to the leadership of Ethereum, and he start promoting Ethereum like Michael Saylor is promoting MicroStrategy and the Bitcoin for corporates. He start promoting Ethereum for corporates and going to TV shows and everywhere. And it's like the new marketing guy for the Ethereum, which actually Ethereum was being missing, because everything else except Bitcoin needs a marketing. Bitcoin has its kind of, in a natural way, the marketing, because it's so unique, so uncompetable with everyone else, everything else. So Bitcoin doesn't need a team dedicated as a leadership, because it's kind of everybody advertising it. But everything else, it does need a team to run it, because it's not Bitcoin, everything else like Ethereum. So since that change happened to Ethereum, now we saw Ethereum picking up again, being chosen. And you have to see this, that the entire Wall Street and the investors are being educated to diversify. So everybody's hearing about have Bitcoin for corporate treasury, etc. But they are psychologically programmed to diversify. And when something is advertised like Ethereum, well, this is a good option to diversify, go Ethereum, have Ethereum on your balance sheet. So now we've seen that the companies start being diversified on Ethereum. And that's something good, actually, in general, because Ethereum is a great technology itself. And also with this stability in the market, the other altcoins are start to pick up again. And Ethereum also being an ETF is something that can attract more flows in. And also we'll see other altcoins having approved ETF most probably in the next 2-3 months. And that will lead us to the new cycle of altcoins.
Yeah, one of the more interesting things I noticed in the last month was one of the Bitcoin miners based, I think, in Canada has actually started to accumulate Ethereum. And that's very interesting that you got a Bitcoin miner. And I know you're in Bitcoin mining. I want to talk to you about that in a minute as well. Mm-hmm. Why would a Bitcoin miner be going into and accumulating an Ethereum reserve?
Yeah, that's something that was also surprised myself because I'm 100% in Bitcoin with my Bitcoin mining company. But at the moment, honestly, I can't see anything else except if something going wrong, you know, in their Bitcoin mining business, except the strategy of being diversified, because a lot of companies are trying to be diversified no matter how good the asset is. For example, if you're watching Kevin O'Leary, which is one of the famous investors and well-known worldwide, he says, don't keep more than 5% in one asset, no matter how good it is. If it's Bitcoin or if it's Tesla or whatever it is, don't keep more than 5%. Always allocate to other ones and diversify. So, and especially he has huge influence in Canada. He has his own companies there. So I don't see any reason else except being diversified, honestly.
Talk to us about your Bitcoin mining operation. How many miners do you have? Where are they located? Is this a good time to be in Bitcoin mining?
Right now, we have about 1,250 miners in different locations between UAE, Dubai, Ethiopia, and United States. So I started this as a solo mining in 2013 in April, almost 2.5 years ago. In UAE, then I expanded to clean energy, cheaper energy in Ethiopia since last year, October. And a few months ago now, with a new administration in the United States, after having been changed everything towards crypto, new laws passed and being crypto friendly and removing all the strange restrictions that the previous administration had imposed against crypto, suddenly the US is the place for the crypto. It has become officially the crypto capital of the world, no matter how much other countries try to compete. And I see a big future on that. So I started first solo myself. Then I got some friends of mine doing together. And then about 1.5 year ago, we opened to everybody to provide hosting and management services to be able to mine with us. So Bitcoin mining is profitable, is a huge opportunity, and will always be. The thing is that it has few factors which will determine to be profitable or not. And they are such as location, where you're going to do, type of miners. Okay, you can do a research and you can find out with someone, you know, a good researcher and finalize what type of miners, hardware you should choose. Then it's electricity cost. Now we are mining, for example, at 5.5. We have some deals at 5.5 cents of dollars, some other at 4 cents of dollars, and we have some upcoming deals for 3.5 cents of dollars, which is very, very cheap. And if you are below 6 cents of dollars in the electricity price, you're going to be profit in bull market and in bear market as well. And then afterwards, it has to do a lot with the proper financial administration of the company, if you're doing as a company, and the mining from now on is going to be only, except if you do home mining with some small miners or heating miners that they have developed recently, the mining is going to be only from big companies, and big people as individuals can join only with big companies because it's not affordable to get cheap electricity to be able to do. If you just use the classic tariffs of the electricity, are very expensive. And then on top of that, now there are new tools to optimize the profitability of Bitcoin. For example, there are AI softwares that can prevent miner to be damaged, or during the night when it's colder, the temperature, to boost the productivity. And overall, just by making the hardware more efficient, in the last 3 months, by implementing this software in our company, we have increased the profitability 18%, just making the miner more efficient to not burn and to not waste energy. So we have reduced a percentage of the energy and making it more efficient. This is so-called firmware, which optimizes with AI the productivity of the miner. And then there are extra strategies to optimize the profitability. And overall, just with some standard strategies, the existing profit can be boosted up to 65%. There is also so-called the overclocking. For example, if you have a miner in Norway or in North Dakota that we are doing now, or Indiana, and it's cold, the temperature naturally, because you're in a cold location, is like 5 degrees or 10 degrees or even 0 degrees, even less than 0 degrees, you can do so-called overclocking and boost the miner to produce more and increase another 35 to 50% the productivity of the hardware. Because if they are heated, they cannot produce. They can produce up to a specific limit. So then the mining becomes about strategy optimization and a team of management to be able to be to make it profitable. And because Bitcoin is just getting more and more adopted, you are with two ways: solving new problems and mine new Bitcoins, finding new Bitcoins in the network, and from the transaction fees. So maybe some point at the future, in 70 years, the new miners, the new Bitcoins will be finished, but the transaction fees will never go away. So they will be always profitable. The only thing is to actually make it profitable. And that's what we're trying to do with Bitmain mining.
I see that you're mining in Ethiopia. They've recently completed the Gerem Dam, they call it, which is on the Nile. There's a hydroelectric plant, right?
Yeah.
And recently they reported that they made $200 million just from Bitcoin mining, from profit share with other Bitcoin miners. And I presume you're one of those, and there must be other ones there as
well. We have paid already over $2 million to them just for electricity.
Oh, really? Now, what kind of electricity price are you getting there? And you're also familiar with South Africa, so I'd be keen to hear your views on the potential for Bitcoin mining in South Africa. We don't have hydro, but we do have some solar, which of course is very intermittent. Is there any interest in Bitcoin mining for you in South Africa?
Well, it would be if the electricity price was below 6 cents of dollars, because as I said, that's the limit when you're going to be profitable or you're going to be kicked out in the downtrends of Bitcoin. So in Ethiopia, there is this third world country. They need investment. They need this income. And for the country, it's very important, that income. So they have hydropower. They did build with us, with Bitcoin mining companies, for the next 4 years to have prices between 4 and 5.5 cents of dollars, and in different locations. So our price there is between 4 cents, and that means an initial capital to set up, for example, facilities and stations, power stations there. And then you have it for years in that price at 4 cents of dollars. Otherwise, in general wise, goes to 5.5 cents of dollars, the cost per kilowatt. And they also finished the new, as you said, the new power station with hydropower. And that one, it is expected to boost even more Bitcoin mining in Ethiopia. And I do believe that next year probably would be, you know, the $1 billion instead of 200 from mining. It's just getting more and more expanded there. And they are also quite friendly towards Bitcoin mining because they want to attract more investment in their country. They want to maintain that one there. So, yeah. And we're happy so far.
Now, you're also an author. You wrote a book called Bitcoin, the New Gold, and it's a bestseller in Amazon. You've written this in Greek and in English. Greek, I guess, is your first language. Yeah. English would be your second language. Tell us about that book and what kind of market is that aimed at?
So actually, last year, at a point, I realized that no matter how much is known Bitcoin widely, the majority of the people still doesn't understand basically what is Bitcoin and what problem is trying to solve as a technology, as a hard asset, and what is the future of it. So I've been telling to people that Bitcoin will hit $100,000 in this cycle and will go even higher and will go in millions in the future. And I will see that almost 99% of the people is kind of get shocked and like when they hear these big numbers and prices. So then I found out that people doesn't really understand specific factors. So then I just dedicated my time to write and to cover Bitcoin from every corner, so people have really a deep understanding and they don't miss with the question like, yeah, but what about this? Yes, what about technology? Why is just, because some people think that is thin air. So there is a real technology in the back of it, and Bitcoin is a digital gold, so-called, and now it's called even from the Fed or from the President of the United States, from the largest institutions like BlackRock, that it is a digital gold. And it has its freedom that is not relied on governments. And it has this, you know, that people now, even governments, are afraid of holding a currency of a country, even the dollar, even with Trump. Now it's losing 10% in the last 6 months because it's not trust anymore to depend in a country or in an institution or in a person. And now with the development of the technology, when they see this option, when people, governments, institutions understand, it just get adopted. And is the next steps of the evolution, you know? So like it's something that you can't stop it. And it just need to be understood and take advantage as soon as people can, because I do believe that in few years, we will be forced to use, everybody will be forced to use Bitcoin and crypto, as we were forced to use social media. Because if you, for example, have a business and the customer comes to buy a product or a service and say that I can only pay you in Bitcoin, then you will be forced to accept payment in Bitcoin. Or you go somewhere that you want to buy something and they say we only accept Bitcoin or crypto, then you're going to be forced to buy Bitcoin and pay with that. So Bitcoin probably is going to be as an asset, like, you know, like the gold accumulated. Then stable coins are going to be used more for transactions, for services. But Bitcoin and crypto overall is going to be more and more adopted and used. So that's something that I'm trying to cover, so people have a real understanding with a simple way of writing, not complexity, even different terminologies. They're explained with a glossary so people can really, really understand once and for all.
I think one of the things that really is surprising me, and particularly here in South Africa, is the rate at which crypto innovation is evolving, and it's really accelerating at a fast rate. So you're now starting to see a lot of the crypto exchanges in South Africa offering X stocks, which are tokenized stocks, on the blockchain. And so you can buy a fraction of a Tesla, you can buy a fraction of an Apple. But there are all sorts of really interesting products also coming out, you know, where you can earn yield on US dollar stable coins that are quite impressive, you know, even up to 10, sometimes 15%, they have these special offers. You know, for people who are looking at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, which has earned an average of 11% over the last decade, 11% per year, those yields start to look quite interesting. Give us your take on the, you know, some of the real use cases for crypto and why businesses should probably be looking a bit more seriously at this.
Sure. So actually, if you listen to the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, he says that in the future, everything will be tokenized. And tokenized means that you just simply, the value of any type of asset, you put it on a blockchain and it's more usable, more transparent, more easy to deal with, to trade, to has better use case than the traditional finance and traditional technology. So everything can be tokenized. For example, something that I'm going to do for my business for Bitmain Mining is that I'm going to issue a security token instead of putting in the stock market. So, and that's more easy technology wise, and legal wise, and many aspects is much more easier, more efficient to just tokenize it and get it out instead of applying and making like such a headache to get in the stock market, and you may not even sometimes get accepted because of strict regulations, etc. And then also it's more accessible, it's more easier for people to access it. So that's something, as you mentioned, with the stocks now are getting tokenized, and you can buy every stock in the world through a token, through an exchange. And also companies have to start accepting crypto. So now there are so many regulations that have been passed in the United States, in Europe. I guess also some should be also in South Africa. I have not checked on that. But legally, you can accept crypto. And now the adoption of crypto, no matter what the price of a crypto does, if it goes up or down, increases the adoption overall of the crypto. And businesses can accept crypto in stablecoin, so they don't risk the volatility. So they can start accepting payments. And the businesses who will not implement, they will lose customers. And that's something guaranteed, because I think also in South Africa, the adoption of crypto is more than 20%. So when you have the 20% of the population using crypto, and if you don't provide crypto payment options, then you're going to lose. Even PayPal in the United States now is offering to pay through PayPal, but with crypto. So you can pay with stablecoin through PayPal, and the PayPal will send you US dollar or euro or something else, and you will pay less fees than using credit card or something else. So crypto is an innovation overall, the technology that is behind. And because it has not been captured from the system of the existing, you know, the banking and the government to try to overprofit for it. Because, for example, Visa right now and MasterCard charge between 2.2 to 2.9% fees on the card transactions with the card. And there's not really reason why we pay that much, you know, that much fee, 2.2 to 2.9%. It's just because they can do it. They are controlling the system. But that doesn't happen in the crypto. In crypto, you can transact with one, two cents of dollars. You can pay even billions of dollars anywhere around the world. And stable coins are the solution for businesses to not risk in the volatility of a currency. So, and then there are plenty of options for businesses to accept payments in crypto and to convert it to local currency. It can be South African rand or US dollar or any other currency.
Finally, Giannis, let's just wrap up here with a look into the crystal ball. What do you see happening over the second half of 2025 with crypto? Is Bitcoin, is it peaking out? As some people are saying that we can expect a little bit of a retracement. One of the interesting things, though, about it, the volatility of Bitcoin seems to have diminished significantly since institutions started coming in, ETFs started to become popular. How do you see it playing out?
So you're right about the volatility, because in the last drop three months ago, Bitcoin dropped less than the stock of Tesla and Nvidia. I do believe that the market will start picking up. The Bitcoin will start rallying from September, October, November is going to be these 3 months of crypto again for this year. I can see Bitcoin somewhere between $150,000 to $187,000 without promising these prices, but just like, you know, as trend is going, just my personal view and prediction on it. And that one, also Ethereum to go in new all-time highs and altcoins to follow as well. Altcoins are dependent on Bitcoin, Ethereum, especially in Bitcoin, to rally and to give this certainty that it will go up and then altcoins will follow. And it's the time of it. I do believe that we're going to have a correction in December, early December, and then another rally in the first 3 months of 2026, January, February, March, and then will lead to a new bear market. But the new bear market, I don't expect Bitcoin to dip more than maximum 40%, not anymore as it was in the past, because now it's more stable asset and it's getting continuously accumulated as an asset class and not anymore as a speculative asset, which prevents the huge volatility.
Fantastic stuff. Giannis Andreou, thanks very much for joining us on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.